Okay, well, take your Bible with me, please, and go to Mark chapter 2, if you will. Mark chapter 2. Well, first of all, go through the theme verse, which I've taught you all for the final time. So I really want you all to project today. You hear me? I want you really to say it good and loud. This is the final time. So let's say it together, okay? Are you ready? Here we go. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what is so important as we grasp the truth of the Word of God about the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is absolutely crucial that Jerry Savinsky walks in the Spirit. The same goes for you. Why? So we will not cave in to the flesh and fulfill its desires. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says, what, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I tell you, it's a wonderful truth that I hope that we'll never get over, that we have the blessed Holy Spirit to guide us. I want to say I've already enjoyed my time here with you all, and I would covet your prayers for my ministry as I travel. My wife usually travels with me, but her mother's 99 years of age, and she broke her hip, and she's got this dementia real bad. And so we miss not having her with us, but we made it a priority not to put her in a nursing home unless she requires medical help and so forth. But it's been a pleasure to be with you all. I've enjoyed the fellowship with you young people. And with the your staff and faculty, I thank God for your faculty and the staff. I appreciate your kindness. Your food here is phenomenal. If I'd eat these meals every day like this man Fix, I'd be a big-time evangelist. I really would. It's wonderful, wonderful. You kids are spoiled rotten. You know that? You really are. You got wonderful food. And they're great fellowship. I've enjoyed it. I thank God for Pastor Brother Bill. He's been such a dear friend to me through the years. You know, I thank God that the Lord led him here when Brother Ron felt he needed to step out and get a new man in here. I thank God for Brother Bill, his love for the Lord, his kindness, his gentleness, and yet his firmness. He can be firm when he has to be, and yet, you know, it's great to see a man has a spirit coupled with a kindness and yet a godliness for the cause of Christ. And I hope that you students will have a wonderful year to serve Christ. Let me say this to you guys and you girls as well. Make sure you get your tools good and sharp here in college. You hear me? Get your tools good and sharp. So God, when you step out of ministry, God can use you. This is not a playground. This is a place for preparation. This is a spiritual boot camp where God will deepen your walk if you allow him. And he'll put something in your life that you'll never get. You know, a lot of my preaching was influenced by the founder of the school I went to. He put a zeal within my life. And you know what? I would pray to God that you would get that from this pulpit as well, by the different speakers and, of course, by your presidents. All right, I want to bring a message today on reaching the point of desperation, okay? Would you look at Mark 2, and let's all stand. I want to read verses 1 through 3. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch there's no room to see them, no, not so much about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. Our dear Father, today we pray that your Holy Spirit will take the power of your word and drive this great truth within our lives of reaching the point of desperation as these four men did in the Bible. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. In Mark 4, we find that there were four men who had a friend who could not walk. He had palsy. And therefore, they heard that Jesus Christ was preaching. and they knew of the miracles of Christ. He opened the eyes of the blind. He caused the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He cured people of leprosy and raised others from the dead. And they said, we've got to get this man to Christ. And therefore, the Word of God says, they had a cot, a little bed. They put him on that cot, and they began to take the man to Jesus Christ. And when they did, the first thing I want you to observe from this passage is the resistance that they encountered. Look, please, with me, if you will, at verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. Now, look here, please. There were so many people in the house, so many people outside the house, they could not even get near the door. There was a resistance that they encountered. Are you aware, in your desire and endeavoring of reaching the lost, that there's always a resistance that you will encounter? Why? Because we're in a spiritual battle. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You and I are in battle with the unseen forces of the devil. And every time the Bible goes out, there's always going to be a resistance. Luke 8:12 says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Again, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so, put this down, there will be a resistance that we will encounter as we endeavor to bring the lost to Christ. But then second of all, I want you to observe their resolution was intense. Look at verse 4 again. And when they could not come nigh on him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now look here, please. I have always had a wild imagination. I mean, since I've been a little boy, I've always had a very wild running imagination. On every report card when I was in grade school, my teacher would put on my report card, Jerry daydreams all day long. That was always on my report card. I've always had this wild running imagination. My daughter Jennifer says, my father has a boy's mind trapped in a man's body. Okay? And so, I'm going to kind of visualize to you what I see in this passage right here, okay? I could see these four men. They got the man on the bed, and they began to carry the man to Jesus Christ. And on their journey there, they get near the house, and they see a huge crowd, and the crowd is so huge, they can't even get near the door. And perhaps one of the men said, what are we going to do? Look at that crowd. Perhaps the other man said, there's no way we could ever get him through that door. And perhaps a third guy said, we might as well go back home. There's no sense of going any further. Let's go back. When the fourth guy said, hey, I've got a plan, guys. I've got a plan. And they said, and what will that be? He said, we're going to put him on top, take him on top of the roof of that house. Are you serious? I told you, we're going to take him on top of the roof of that house. And so they get the man on top of the roof. And then these three guys says, well, now what is your great plan? He said, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to tear the roof off, man. And so they begin to tear things apart. And then he said, I don't care what we've got to do if we look like absolute fools. We'll pay for the damage. We've got to get the man to Christ. And so the Word of God says, They had reached this point of desperation. You know, many years ago, a good friend of mine, and when I first got saved, a man 15 years my senior, he came one day, and I was just a brand new convert. I was 17 years old. And he said, "Jerry, would you like to go soul winning with me?" I said, "Well, sir, I'll go on one condition." And he said, "What would that be?" I said, "Well, as long as I don't have to say one word, I will go." You know, I told you, yesterday I stuttered, and I would never speak publicly, never would speak publicly, okay? And so I said, "I'll go as long as I don't have to say one word." He said, "Okay, Jerry, you don't say one word." And, you know, I began to go souling with that man, and I saw hardened men, coal miners, come to Jesus Christ. And somehow that stirred my heart. And you know what God did? God began to burden my heart, and through that, God called me to preach, and I'd go off to college. Well, when I'd go off to college, this friend of mine, Brother Summers, began to witness to a coal miner who was a boss in the coal mine named Jack Smargo. And as he begins to witness to Jack Smargo, he would go to his house every Thursday night. And so on Thursday night, Brother Summers comes walking down the walkway. Jack, his wife Patty, would run and hide in the bedroom, acting like they were not home. And Dot would beat on the door, and they would never answer. And every Thursday night for one whole year, Brother Summers would come walking down the sidewalk, and they'd go running, hiding in the bedroom. For 2 years in a row, without missing a single Thursday night, he goes walking down the sidewalk, and they go running, hiding in the bedroom. After 2 solid years without missing a single night, one night, Jack turned to his wife and said, "He's been here for 2 years in a row. He's not missed a single Thursday night. Let's let him in and get rid of him." And Patty said, "Okay." They opened the door. They invited Brother Summers in. He sat down. He took the word of God. He began to show them the way of salvation. And when he did, Patty began to weep. And Brother Jack said, "I never had this explained to me before." And that night, Brother Summers led Jack Smargo to Jesus Christ. Well, then Jack Smargo and my father, who's a coal miner, they became soul-winning partners. And every week, my dad, Mike Savinsky, and Brother Jack would go soul-winning. And through that, God called Jack to preach. He goes off to college. When he was a senior, he won the soul-winning award. He won the most souls to Christ in 4 years than any other students. Several years ago, I saw Brother Smargo, and I said, "Brother," and he said, "Brother Jerry, I want to tell you something." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "You know, I thank God that Dot Summers did not give up on me." And the tears began to flow as he said, "You know, Jerry, where would I be if Brother Summers had given up on me? I'm so grateful he came to my home for those 2 years and led me to Christ." Then I was in West Virginia. Brother Summers lives only 2 miles from my home. And so I stopped by to see Brother Summers. And I said, "Brother Dot, were you aware that Brother Jack was hiding on you?" He said, "Oh, yes. Yes, I knew he was hiding on me. But I was determined by the grace of God to reach Jack Smargo for Jesus Christ." You know, I would to God, the Lord will put within your hearts such a resolution. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Proverbs 24:10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And we find these men were determined to get the man to Christ. So the word of God says, third of all, the results were miraculous. Look back against verse 4 and 5. And when they could not come nigh on him for the press, they uncovered the roof where it was, and they let him down. And now look at verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now look at verse 11 and 12. I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into the house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all. And they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Look here, please. I can just imagine that. They apparently put ropes on the end of that cot. They begin to lower the man down to Jesus Christ as they're standing and lowering him like that. And Jesus Christ looks up, this great commotion of all the straw and piece of wood falling, and now they're lowering the man, and the word of God says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, I'm the sick of the palsy. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And the Bible says, he arose, and the people glorified God and said, we never saw it on this fashion. And I'll tell you something, you'll never see it on this fashion until you recognize there's always a resistance that you will encounter. There has to be a resolution. At any cost, I've got to reach that loved one for Christ before you see the miraculous. Many years ago, I had meetings in Indiana, the state of Indiana. And my wife and I, with the pastor, had a meal in the home. And we were going back, and pastor said, now, we brought two cars tonight because my wife and your wife, Sharon, can go to the church. I want you and I to go to the hospital and visit a man. I said, okay, that's fine. And so we got in the car to go to the hospital, and the pastor turned to me and said, you know, Jerry, I don't think we'll go to the hospital after all. I said, why is that? Why is that? He said, Jerry, I'm not exaggerating. We have visited this man over 150 times, and that's no exaggeration. He said, I brought every speaker and everyone in our church. Everybody has witnessed this man, and I think we'll just go back to church. And I said, no, brother. I said, let me meet the guy. I'd like to meet the guy. And so finally, he said, okay. We'll waste our time, but okay. And so we go to the hospital. His name is Mr. Hall. And so walked in there, and the pastor said, hey, Mr. Hall, this is our evangelist, Jerry Savinsky. And the guy looked at me, and I said, hello. And he said, hello, me. Began to talk, and I don't know why I brought this subject up. I said, by the way, do you like to hunt? And the guy's got to speak. He said, well, yeah, I like to hunt. I said, well, I've hunted all my life. He said, you have. And he sat up in bed. And we started talking about hunting. And so finally, we got on fishing. I said, well, I fished every day of my life as a teenager. You did? Oh, yeah. I fished every famous place in West Virginia. I said, we love fishing. And my, this guy and I, we began to bond like this. And finally, I said, hey, I've got to go. We've got meetings. And I said, would you mind if I asked you a question before I leave? He said, what would that be? I said, Mr. Hall, I said, have you ever thought where you're going to spend eternity? He looked at me, and these are the exact words he said. It's a funny thing you asked me that question. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've been thinking about it all day long. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, Mr. Hall, would you mind if I took the Bible and showed you something? He said, no, not at all. I opened the Word of God. I began to show him the love of God through Christ. And finally, I said, now, Mr. Hall, I cannot force you to invite Christ in your life. I said, this got to be a decision from your heart, but I want to ask you, would you like to invite the Lord to save you? He said, yes, I want to get saved. He bowed his head. He prayed out loud. He invited Christ in his heart. Well, I looked at the pastor. I'll never forget this. He looked back at me, and he had his arms folded like this, sitting in that chair, and he went like this. He went. He couldn't believe it. We got in the car, began to go down the road. He said, Jerry, the Lord's rebuked me today. The Lord's rebuked me. I thought there's no hope for that man. I thank God we came tonight. We got to the church. Before I preached, as I was going to go to the theme verse, as I always do, I said, we just came from the hospital, and I just led Mr. Hall to Jesus Christ. And his two sisters, I did not know they were even in the meeting. His two sisters, who were in their 70s, they both burst out weeping because they had prayed for years for them to get saved. You know something? That same night, as I was preaching that message at the close, a couple teenage girls raised their hand for salvation, as others did. But the two teenage girls did not come forward for salvation. And so at the close of the meeting, I was in the back of the door, and my daughter Jennifer, who at that time was around 16 or 17 years of age, Jennifer walked up to those two girls, and Jennifer said, would you girls like to be saved? Because she heard them talking. And Jennifer said, would you girls like to be saved? They said, yeah, we were just afraid to walk down the aisle. And my daughter said, would you mind if I took the Bible and showed you how you girls could be saved? They said, we'd like that. And my daughter led those two girls to Jesus Christ that night. It was snowing. I'll never forget this. We began to walk out of the church. I had my daughter Jennifer by the hand. As we began to walk to our truck, I said, Jennifer, what a wonderful night, huh? I said, honey, I led Mr. Hall to Christ. And you led those two girls to Christ. I said, isn't that wonderful, Jennifer? Jennifer said, Dad, it was wonderful. You know, the results can be miraculous. We can see God save the hardest individual. Mr. Hall, probably one of the most difficult person that pastor ever knew. And yet, God's Spirit prepared his heart, been thinking about eternity all day long. And who knows what God can do when we as an individuals realize, oh yeah, there's a resistance we will encounter. There is a resolution that's got to be intense before we ever see the results. You know, tonight, it'd be wonderful if God took this message in your life and would use you even today to reach someone that perhaps is so difficult and so hard. And the night they'd be in God's house and they would come to Christ. And you could rejoice what God would do. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Before I do pray, with our heads bowed. You know, if I had you raise your hand, all of you would raise your hand, I'm sure. You say, Brother Jerry, we have loved ones, we have friends, I've got neighbors, I've got associations, people who are not saved. And you know, there's this reality of the resistance that I always encounter, even with my loved ones, those I love the deepest. You know, the day the Lord has spoken to my life, I see the urgency of a resolution. If I ever see God give the results that are miraculous. In a moment, we're going to stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I don't think we have any singing this morning. I'd just like to invite you folk just to step out where you are and come down here. Perhaps there's someone that is so difficult. And you say, God, you help me to have that resolution in my heart. In spite of the opposition, Father, God, you do what only you can do in saving that person's soul. May we see the miraculous, Lord, because of your Holy Spirit. Oh, dear Father, take the power of the Word of God. Do your great work in our midst. May we see people in heaven because of what you do today through the Word of God. In this meeting, we ask in Christ's name, amen.